You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hello, everyone. Tamara here. Here we are, careening into 2020. Before we dig into today's guest interview, I want to remind you all to use the power of questions to get to the innovations and the solutions that will make a difference in your work and life. Challenge your assumptions. Poke holes in how you do things. Question why others do things. Ask me questions around the challenges you face. Your answers are only as good as the questions you ask. Bad questions actually equal bad answers. So to ask me questions, just go to the podcast page on our website. It's that simple. So how about we start there? Speaking of questioning, I had a lot of questions for today's guest, Herb Schull. Herb is the EY Americas Advisory Markets Sectors and Solutions Leader. He's responsible for driving advisory go-to-market strategy, approach, and execution. Herb's team plays a key role in leading the continued development and execution of issue-based sector-relevant solutions to help drive greater connectivity and enable clients to thrive in this transformative age. We talk a lot about the word transformation, by the way. In fact, we talk about transformation versus disruption. Super interesting. So during his 30-plus years in the industry, he's had a passion for providing others the opportunity to grow and succeed through their client experiences and leadership development roles. Like I said, this is a really interesting conversation about what it means to be transformative and how to think about that versus disruption. Okay, time to dig in.
Herb, thank you so much for joining me today. I am looking forward to a lively conversation.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you, Tamara. I appreciate being here.
So since this is the first time we met, what's one thing that people would be surprised to learn about you?
That's always interesting. I think we meet people in a lot of different situations, right? But a couple of items that always surprise folks. One is that I paid my way through college working on my grandfather's farm.
Oh.
And so a lot of times you see people in the city or in an event or at a black tie affair or something, and you just don't have that picture of them paying their way through college baling hay or chasing cows type of thing, right? So that always surprises folks. I also have a very data-oriented approach. I love data. I love numbers. I'm an engineer by background. But I think it would surprise people to know that when I took the Quotient Edge assessment, it came out with me being innovative, and it came out with me being instinctual and imaginative. And I think those are things that folks might be surprised by as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what you just said is actually a wonderful dispelling of a myth, which is that you are either a numbers person or you're innovative or creative. And actually, you can be a creative problem solver and a strategic thinker, which is really ultimately what innovation is, in a lot of different ways and a lot of different styles. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think oftentimes, particularly people who are more analytical by trade, we are taught that we're not innovative just because we picked a path that was more data driven. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, I think it's a conversation we have with our clients quite a bit, right? Is innovation is not invention, right? It's
right.
Not one big aha. It is a process. It's a way of working. It's a piece of your culture that you need to develop and build. And transformation plays from there, obviously.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that about process, because I couldn't agree more. I think we get focused on it's the outcome, and that's a great thing and important, but it is the process. I want to actually start with you a little bit high level and then kind of and dig in, because I think this is the part that's impacting all of the stuff we're about to discuss in the rest of the conversation. What societal trends do you think are impacting business, and how we need to think about the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic question. There's so many pieces and parts of our lives overall that are merging that drive innovation and are impacting businesses. Just we've all seen and are living the impacts of business to consumer and the experiences we have there as an end consumer impacting the expectations we have on our work life as well, right? We expect things to be frictionless. We expect data to be on hand and readily available and easily understandable. We expect time and space to be collapsed, right? We expect to need something and be able to understand if it's available and get it almost right away, whether it be two-day shipping or it be an immediate vehicle for transportation and mobility, whether it be in the future leveraging some emerging technologies to print the part we need at the place we need it versus ordering the part and having it sent to us type of situation. So I think those are big ones, right? The expectations of the process and the collapsing of time and space is one of my favorites. The other one that my partner Marcy Merriman talks about all the time is the generational differences and the fact that we have so many generations with varying experiences in each of our organizations and in each, honestly, each of our circles at all times now, right? We have colleagues and team members that have never not had a smartphone. They've always had technology in their hand, right? And yet you have boomers that are continuing to work and can remember before there was anything close to what we call technology. And we're all working in the same environment with the same, trying to drive the same expectations and customer journeys and business processes during the day. And I think those societal changes are challenging every day.
So there's two things I want to dig in on that because I think this is so valuable to understand. And bear with me if I jumble a little because I'm kind of thinking and talking at the same time. But on your first point about expectations and frictionless and being able to understand things instantly and this, I love how you said time and space collapsed because we just expect it now. In fact, we expect it yesterday, right? Like I click it and it should be a knock on my door in a second. We're talking about shipping because that's the obvious thing. But how do you move forward in that challenge? Because I think oftentimes, particularly when it comes to whether it's a B2B or a B2C, but just our customers out there, they can't always articulate how they want it next. It's almost like the business drives us. So Amazon creates one click and now we want one click across everything. Zappos has free returns. So now we want free returns across everything. Disney knows who I am the minute I walk in the door. So now I want everybody to know my name. But I don't know that I could have articulated that expectation. If you sat me down and asked me, I would have been okay with where we were until someone changed it.
Yeah, I think that's really part of the, I'll say, secret sauce, if you will, right? It's not how do I take some capability I have or some technology I've seen or some requirement that I've come up with in my mind or in my customer journey map and translate that into here's how we're going to do that in the future. It really, and we use this term future back. We spend a lot of time talking with our clients about what does the future look like? What could it look like? If you apply a beginner's mind to that thinking, how do you go and put yourself not just in the next, but out into the beyond? And think about what the beyond looks like for your sector, for your customers, for your sets of processes, and really importantly these days is for your employees and that talent that you rely on. And if you think about what that looks like way in the future or could look like way in the future, and then you work backwards into, hey, there's a technology that might allow me to do that, or here's a way I could do that that's completely different than what I do now. I think too many times we get caught in taking where we're at and trying to work forward, and that ends up in quite a bit of incremental improvement versus looking to the future, thinking about now, next, and beyond. When you're out in the beyond and you're looking backwards, it's a little bit of how could I get there and what might allow me to do that or how would I help that exist? And you get much more transformational, much more innovation type of thinking.
So this is, I think, a bit of an obvious question, but I want to use it to springboard the conversation. And I'd love to dig into this future back because that's, I think what you said for all of us on Launch Street is really important, that it's not just, okay, here's where I am, what do I do next, and then next, and then next, but really leaping forward and then working our way backward to create a map to actually get there. And I think if I hear you right, Herb, what you're saying is in doing that, you're really minimizing that risk of just incremental adjustments better, stronger, faster, smoother, whatever it is, and really doing something meaningful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We find a lot of times ourselves, of course, right? We're a large organization constantly working to satisfy our employees and our clients and our customers. But I think many organizations find that they're constantly looking at how do I do what I do better versus how do I do something different that fulfills a need and creates an outcome and solves an issue that, to your point, in many cases we didn't realize was an issue or our customers didn't realize it was an issue. But once they have it, it's a baseline expectation from there forward.
Well, and I do think that if you look at the products and services that have changed the way we do something and transformed our lives and on the consumer and on the business side, I think they're often ones that I could have never said I need. And then they gave it to me and I was like, yes, I cannot do without this now.
Right.
You know, like Wi-Fi on airplanes, sorry, but I would be like, no, I like my quiet time. It's my chance to catch up. And now if the, God forbid, the Wi-Fi goes out and I throw a tizzy fit and I'm like, ah, how is it? I need this. So,
well,
you know,
that person.
Yeah, I totally am that person. Have you been with me on an airplane? You've probably seen me. So I want to, you said the word transformation. So let's talk a little bit about that word, because I think it's something that a lot of us talk about, but we all have different definitions. So I'd love to hear how you define transformation, both I think personally and in business.
Yeah, absolutely. Personally is always an interesting challenge. I think one of the beauties and I have found really invigorating for me personally, having been in the professional services world for a long time, is that truly that opportunity to reinvent yourself, not just get better at what you do or build eminence at something, which we all strive for, right? But to truly transform yourself, to be, you know, an expert and add value and create outcomes for clients in one space. And then maybe 3 years later, the client needs you to help them with something else, or the market's asking for us to go learn and help and create value in a different way with a different technology or a different method or approach. And for me, that's the personal side of it, right? On the business side, a lot of people talk about, and we hear the term disruption or the disruptive age or embracing disruption. I think all valuable points, but we've really been talking more about the transformation age and the age of transformation. And I think that really puts a much more positive spin on what clients and companies, our clients, and what companies and organizations are trying to create. And sometimes it can be an overused word, but I do believe that transforming yourself into something completely different, right? Having a new business model, being able to create not only the product maybe that you created in the past, but wrapping a service around that that really allows for more value to be created in the overall system for both you and for your partners in the ecosystem, but maybe you're in customers, right? So maybe you have a product, you now have a service, and beyond that, the data that's now available from many of the products and the services and the interactions that we all have across the ecosystem, that data starts to provide value for each one of us as well, right? We can leverage that for future improvement. We can leverage that into our lives for lots of different reasons. And so for me, it's taking what we do, and again, not incrementally improving it, but completely transforming the outcomes that you're able to create, not just the product, the service, or the thing, if you will.
So I just, for all of us on Launch Street, I'd love to hear your distinction between transformation and disruption, because to what you said, I think is so right. I think that's, well, first of all, I think the word disruption is used very cliche in lip service, but nobody really knows how to get there anyway. So will you talk to me from your perspective, how you really fundamentally see those two things as different? I know you said one's kind of more positive than the other, but I'm guessing there's kind of a little more meat to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think kind of back to this concept of now, next, and beyond, right? Disruption in a lot of cases is viewed as, this technology will allow us to do something else, or look at this new shiny toy. What can I do with this? Right. And those are coming at us faster than ever. 3D printing, blockchain, massive amounts of data, different levels of visualization, you know, real time, et cetera, as we talked about earlier. I would say many many times we see organizations and looking at those technologies and saying, how could this disrupt, or this is going to disrupt, and then kind of focusing on that capability and what could that capability do, versus that back to the concept, if I want to transform my customer's experience, or if I want to transform my employee's experience, the talent that is involved in my overall ecosystem, how do I think about that? And how do I utilize some of those shiny objects, some of those capabilities, some of those technical tools that exist in order to help with that transformation? But also, how do I transform the way I lead, for an example, right? How do I need to lead differently in a multi-generational environment that's very digitally enabled? What culture do I need to establish that's completely different? We have a tool that we've put into the market called the Transformation Index, very similar to the quotient, the Innovation Quotient Index, the Edge Index that you have at an organizational level. And one of the things we see is companies in general, after they take the index and we're really collecting data and looking across the board, companies struggle in many cases to learn how to fail fast. They struggle with, how do I lead differently and how do I change my culture so that it's really acceptable to do something that's completely different than we did before? How do I think about those things? How do I speak differently about those things? What culture do I need to create? And we find that to be a big part of the transformation, the needs to be successful in a transformation, as much so as the process modification or the tools that you're going to leverage, et cetera.
You know, it's interesting. I also find that kind of as you're talking, Herb, I'm thinking, oh, transformation, I can do that. But disruption shuts me down a little bit. And I play in the innovation space. And I still look at that, I go, oh, that's exhausting. And I have to imagine that when you're dealing with your employees, your teams, your business, that going to them and saying, we're going to disrupt everything, I think on a mental level actually shuts people down versus saying to them what you're saying, which is transformation kind of is now, next, beyond, which is much more doable, even though you may be going towards the same objective.
It's as I said earlier, it's a much more positive spin on it. And I think, you know, we for years have advocated for positive change, not just change management, if you will. And we talk a lot about change and insights are really critical. The other thing I would say is, because it is hard, there's two theories here that I think are very pertinent. One is this concept of a dual transformation, and we probably you've probably talked about it on your podcast, in fact, but this concept of running the business and doing what we do now while we transform ourselves into something different, that's a very hard concept. And leaving this hill and getting to the top of this other hill, especially if you're a leader in your market and you're doing really well, so that's a really hard concept. The other thing that I think is much different than it has been in the past, and some organizations inherently do this better than others, but I think all organizations, and we're seeing this with our clients, are learning that it truly does take an ecosystem now, right? You're going to have cloud providers for a big chunk of your infrastructure. You're going to have technology and capabilities that aren't inherently in your core sweet spot, but you need them in order to be effective in this transformation. You're going to have skills that are absolutely in your talent pool, but we talk a lot more about the talent agenda than we do the employee agenda at times, because not everyone in the future is going to be an employee of the organization, right? And I think that working across the ecosystem is a big piece of how that works. And we find our clients asking us for, how can you help us do that? How can you work with two or three other really key components of the overall solution? And how do you bring that together? How do you make us better by doing that?
I want to, you know, with the transformation, if you're open to it, what I'd love to do is have you guide me through how you think about it, or even a case study or example, if you have it, would be phenomenal. I think both from the leadership perspective, because you've mentioned employees a lot, and I do think that, you know, we talk a lot about customers, but focusing on employees is equally important. They're the ones doing the work at the end of the day. I'd love to hear a transformation guide or story, one from the how do I lead differently, given, to your point, we're talking about a talent pool, not necessarily, just employees, and multi-generational. So that's one. And then the other one being how you think about or guiding through transformation on the go-to market or business model strategy.
Well, I will tell you, I will do my best, and several of my solution leaders will make sure that I hear about some of the component pieces that I've missed after the podcast. But a couple of examples, maybe, and I'll bring these maybe to a very generic level. But we spend a lot of time with our clients talking about the overall customer journey and the experience, as I've said, and that could be professional sports teams, that could be entertainment venues, that could be consumer products, that could be mobility companies, right? And one of the big pieces on that side is really two things. How am I really creating that end customer experience? And how many of those experiences am I facilitating? Am I creating outcomes for? So my business in the past could have been, to your point earlier, to get you from point A to point B in a machine that flies, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But during that point in time, can I also facilitate the experience of you receiving entertainment, you being able to chat with your friends, you being able to get work done, right? And I think we see that, whether that be, again, professional sporting venues, that fans are looking for a different holistic experience while they're there, understanding the data of the players, not just having a program, right? Having connectivity, being able to interface with all the pieces of the venue fairly frictionlessly, to go back to one of our previous comments. So I think that's an example of how we have to transform all those pieces on the customer side. There's also examples of, whether it be utilities, energy companies, manufacturing organizations, they're saying, hey, I'm providing this capability, this product, and even this service through a set of processes. Are there other outcomes I can provide? Because I'm already scheduling with my client, I'm already interfacing with them digitally, and I'm already touching them physically or digitally in some way. How are there other outcomes that I can help facilitate for them? Because that is the very client-centric view of the world, right? Or the customer-centric. That same approach applies to employees and to the whole talent pool. So we have many examples of employees walking into the work environment, and they are on their tablet, they're connected on their Bluetooth, they're working within their whatever social media application allows them to stay connected to their broader environment. And then they put all that down and they step into a world of, not real tablets, but literally tablets of paper, for example, right? Or they feel like they're taking a step backwards in speed, information availability, et cetera. And so I think that's a small example of where we help clients do that. But many of our young folks especially experience this, where they come out of university, where very collaborative environment, you didn't know anything in September when you started the semester, and by December, you're as close to an expert as you're going to get, prepped for that final, right? And yet these young people step into the workforce, and in many cases, organizations say, well, give it a couple of years, you'll learn something, right? Or here, come over and sit in this room and work with Herb or tomorrow, and after a while, you'll learn some of the stuff they know. And I think it's a completely different experience that they have on not only what the environment is, but how the environment They absorb from the environment and from all the people in the environment and all the knowledge that's in the environment. So I think we need to think about those components as well.
So I'd love to get your perspective on this part of it, because I hear this from clients all the time. So, and I'll just give you a kind of a personal example to bring it home. It's a little bit of what you're saying. So I'm a Gen Xer. I'm that generation squeezed in the middle that nobody talks about. So I'm 47.
I resemble that remark.
I just love it because nobody talks about us. We're like the hidden generation. So, and you know, what's interesting is I grew up in the era. So my first job out of college was on Madison Avenue in advertising. And I was just thankful to be there. And I was lucky if I got to sit in on a meeting where clients came in.
I listened to your personal podcast, and I remember you talking about you got to do really important things like get coffee and make
sure.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, I was lucky if I got to like make copies, get coffee. And I was lucky I had some great bosses who were willing to at least listen to some things I had to say. But I was one of the rare ones that got to have a voice at all, really. It just wasn't the generation I grew up in. You paid your dues, and then over a period of time, then you were allowed to speak. And that was the norm. There was nothing wrong with that. That's how it was. And you know, now that I'm leading teams, whether that's client or at my own company, I've got people, to your point, of all generations, and they have a very, particularly the younger, have a very different perspective. They believe, and I feel rightfully so actually, that their voice should be heard and that what they bring to the table is valuable. And I think there's this wonderful blend, and I think you're saying it too, in the diversity of thinking that comes with those different generations and those different experiences. The same is true for different styles of innovation. So you as an instinctual imaginative and me as a risk taker experiential think very differently and process very differently. But there's power in that, right? But there's friction that comes along with that, particularly when you're trying to transform how you're doing it. How do you help your clients, or how do you help them think about getting over the friction that comes along with that power and diversity of thinking and this new way of working together that can be so powerful, but is hard? You're working with people not like you.
Yeah, I think there's a few different ways. We are a big fan of collaborative environments for doing design and bringing that thinking to the table, right? And having all of those different capabilities and generations and experiences, bases, et cetera, all represented as we're working through that. I also say we have an amazing team within our, what we call people advisory services team that is very focused on, many people would call it learning, right? But they really talk about themselves as enabling change, and not just change and change insights, as we talked about earlier, but how do we get people to change what they do and how they do through learning something new or acquiring more knowledge or gaining new experiences, right? And so I think you have to take a very, people learn in different ways, and how do you apply things like gamification to that? And how do you, back to time and space a little bit, how do you take time and space out of that? We learned at a pace, I'll say back in the day, right? The ability is, the matter of fact is that the ability exists now to learn at any point in time on your own schedule, wherever you are, and to mash together different learning experiences, do a bit of gamification, do a virtual collaboration in real time. And so I think bringing all those things together and allowing various pieces of the talent structure, if you will, to learn the way they learn and to leverage the knowledge and the pieces of knowledge that exist within the organization in lots of different ways to apply it to what they're trying to do and solve, et cetera. I think it's really critical.
You know, I couldn't agree more with you on that. I think we're so used to, or in the past, it was like everybody fits into the square peg or the round hole, whichever one that is, the round hole, you know, but we all look so different, and having it be more dynamic is so, it's not only important, but it actually is better for the outcomes as well versus all trying to do it one way or see the world or the view in the one way. You know, you had mentioned when we were talking about guiding through transformation and in the conversation we were just having, whether that's, so in that transformation, whether that's internal, external, you had said having a kind of stepping out and having a more customer-centric or even employee-centric or talent-centric view. And then you talked about just now like being more dynamic. What are other things that you need to be mindful of when it comes to going through transformation?
One of the big ones, I think, that we haven't talked about, and this is one, there are probably several others, but one that I'm very cognizant of is to truly be transformative, we have to be at a place in any organization that allows us to cross over some of the traditional boundaries, I'll say, right? We talk about within organizations all the way back into business school, folks always talk about the silos, right? Breaking down silos, breaking, thinking outside the box. But I know you hate that one.
I do.
But I think we have to be at a place in the organization that truly allows you to look across the entire organization and bring the entire organization to bear on the problem we're trying to solve or the potential outcome we could create, et cetera. So it can't be, we'll of course continue to improve and drive, you know, transformations within functions and within capabilities. But some of what we've been talking about here can't just be a customer initiative, right? Because a customer initiative probably changes the way you're going to interface with that customer and the technology used to give them a digital experience. It probably also immediately changes your supply chain and how you service that client and how you supply, quote unquote, everything you need to enable that real-time experience, if you will, or that collapsing of time or distance. And so I think in many cases, one of the really big challenges that is a little harder to talk about is it can't be the chief innovation officer or even sometimes the chief digital officer, the CIO or the CFO or the chief customer officer. It really needs to be that team driving the transformation across all components of the business so that you're enabling that entire journey. We've spent a lot of time over the years, those of us that have been doing this, talking about end-to-end processes. And I actually have one of my partners ask me the other day, are we not talking end-to-end processes anymore? And I said, no, absolutely. I think that is how the organization runs. But we need to realize that all components of that end-to-end vision have to be transforming towards one outcome, not each piece or node of that optimizing within, you know, its own kind of set of parameters or chart.
Got it. Let me ask you this on this kind of what we're talking about on this, the whole team has to kind of be on board, so to speak. So let's say, leadership or C-suite decides, okay, we're going to transform. We're going to change the way we do things in these areas, or we're going to look for the opportunities. What advice do you have for those leaders to get the team on board? Because I think, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it probably more even than I have, where there's good intent from the top in terms of wanting those outcomes and wanting those to move the needle in that way. But ultimately, there's this next big step, which is getting the team to play in that space, giving them permission to transform and to innovate and getting them to take on that balance that you talked about, which I think is so important for us to recognize about, like, keep the ship running and innovate and transform. So what advice for those leaders?
You know, there's really no secret sauce to this one. I think we have, and I know you've talked about it on your show, the need for the communication, the vision setting, the understanding of what change we are going through together, right? I think that's critical. You spent a lot of time on this on one of your previous podcasts. I will say that there is absolutely a balance between we have to keep running the business while allowing and encouraging and leading in such a way and measuring and metricing and rewarding in such a way that it's okay to try something new. It's okay to fast fail. In fact, we expect that. I think we've seen organizations that have tried to do that really close and in conjunction with running the business. And that's really hard. The antibodies that make needing to get the day-to-day done are really hard on the new virus of change, if you will, right? Yeah. But I also believe we've seen too many examples of companies where they say, hey, I have to carve this out. It has to go over here and it has to sit in its own little thing. And if it's going to be a standalone thing in the future, that probably is okay. But it really needs to be a part of this ecosystem that I talked about earlier. And if you bring it too far away, then it's not truly connected to the heart and soul of the organization, if you will. So it will end up being its own thing and it may not be able to scale. It won't leverage the benefits of the larger organization, et cetera. And so those are two pieces that it's a fine balance. And I think it's, we spend a lot of time working with clients on how they do that in their specific environment, their specific sector, their specific level of maturity and sophistication, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As you were saying ecosystem, I wrote it down to refer to what you said earlier. So Jinx, you owe me a Coke. It's not the old words. Just again, to date myself. I said Reader's Digest to somebody the other day, and they said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, let me find a new one. But to your point about the ecosystem versus the siloing, I think that's a massive mistake that a lot of leadership makes. And I think there's actually an unstated negative side effect that happens when we silo. So not, you know, we give the six people or that one department the mandate, the permission, the resources, whatever, to innovate. And to your point, you're not scaling, you're not leveraging. And I think on top of that, you are accidentally telling everybody else in your organization and on those teams that they are not innovative and they're not contributors in that way. And what I found is that is demoralizing, and the engagement, the productivity of those employees actually goes down when those type of systems are set up. And that's absolutely not the intent of leadership. They're looking to, like, all right, let's get a core team. Let's start this. Let's find a safe space where we can fail fast. But the reality is the rest of the organization actually feels a negative impact on their work when that happens.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the larger organizations that you work with, actually, let me back up and ask you a different question. When clients pick up the phone and call you and ask for your help in this transformation and future back, what problems are they trying to solve? What pain are they calling you with?
Boy, that's a pretty varied question, right? In many cases, you know, back to the how do you define broader transformation? In many cases, the question comes in the form of, how do I think about X, which may be a trend or a new customer expectation, or how might I leverage Y, which might be a new shiny toy or a technology they've heard about, or et cetera. I had one CEO, we joined into a conversation around blockchain because he and his team had been talking about blockchain. He said, but help me understand how I would leverage blockchain. And when we had a long conversation around it, it wasn't really about blockchain, right? It was more about, are there outcomes for your customers in this particular industry that you cannot provide secure data, as an example? Do you need to interface with an ecosystem of folks outside your enterprise, but are providing some of these services to this same client or patient? And would blockchain be something that would be able to help you transform that process or that set of experiences for your client? And so I think in many cases our clients call and they ask us to meet them a little bit on where they're at in their understanding or request for information or thinking about a potential approach, whether it be around technology or a particular client or, I'm sorry, a particular customer experience. And I think we quickly get to a conversation that says, what's the bigger outcome? In what context would you be driving that? And shouldn't we be thinking about a holistic transformation of your customer journey? Or should you not be thinking about just doing better planning for this segment, but should you be thinking about all of the buyer personas that exist and therefore transforming your supply chain to respond to all of those? And so in many cases, it starts with a kernel or a pain point or an interest point and quickly expands to talking about the overall transformation and how that would drive a completely different business for them and a completely different outcome for all the stakeholders.
So I know that I'm guilty of this, what I'm about to say. So this is in no way to minimize the intelligence of any of us or your clients, because I think all of us do this. Do you find oftentimes that the start of the conversation or the start of transformation, that we're trying to solve almost the wrong problem, and that we got to kind of back up and first find the real problem or the real opportunity that we're trying to get to. And, you know, I just, when you said blockchain, I was thinking about a couple of people have called me about that too, but that they were just attaching to that because there was a lot of conversation around it. The real challenge they were facing is their customers' problems were being solved by somebody else in this one specific area, and we needed to figure out how to innovate in that area. But I often find, and again, this is 100% true for me too, I often find that we start the conversation almost in the, I don't want to say wrong, but maybe not the place that's worth our time.
Yeah, I do think that back to the previous conversation, right, is part of our conversation is we tend to maybe say, well, someone's disrupting me and it's blockchain because they're providing a blockchain solution, right? Or an answer or an offering. Or someone's disrupting me because they now have this digitally enabled experience. And it's less about the piece that they're asking, and it's more about what aspect of your employee pool, your talent pool, your customer pool, what outcome are they getting from this other solution that right. that they aren't getting here, right? And so I come back to, what are those outcomes? What issues are we helping our clients solve, right? We talk a lot about solutions we have, things we can help with, methods we have to helping clients, et cetera. But a lot of it is our business model is simple, right? Our clients have issues that they would like to solve, and the world is only creating more and more of those on a regular basis as global trends come at them and new capabilities exist in the world. How do we help them solve those issues? I think our clients have those same things, right? What are the outcomes we're creating? What problems are you solving? Even if you, back to your point earlier, even if you don't know they need solved yet. And that's really the question to be asking. Sometimes it comes at us in the form of disruption or a competitor or a client expectation, customer expectation, et cetera.
I want to bring it back to you for a second before we have to close out, although I feel like we should do a whole nother podcast. I feel like I have like 10 more questions on my list that I can't get to as you're talking.
It's been great talking to you.
So I want to bring it back to you. When in the teams that you lead, and that's, I think, both internal and with your clients, how do you think about driving transformation innovation with them?
Oh, you are setting me up for internal abuse post the podcast, aren't you?
Yes. I won't tell you who called me and paid me on the side to ask this question.
There you go. I'll up the ante. I hope that I'm providing a path for my team members and the broader teams to think about things differently, to be open-minded about what maybe hasn't worked in the past but might in the future. I hope that the teams really see that it's less about maybe how we're structured but more about what we can do. It's more about a little bit of that beginner's mind, right? Let's start with what would we like to do, regardless if we don't know how we're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to fly. Good. How do I figure out how to do that? Versus we've tried to fly 15 times. That's really hard. That's really expensive, et cetera. So I hope I'm creating that environment for the teams. I lead our America's Solutions team, and we use that term very broadly, right? But it's all focused on those client outcomes and what client problems we're helping them solve. And so I think our teams really have the opportunity to say, let's go bring the best of EY, of our organization, and honestly, our alliance partners and our broader ecosystem to solve that problem. And that may be completely different than the way we did it last year or 5 years ago.
I like that. And I appreciate the inherent permission that you're giving your team to think like that as well on their own versus kind of waiting for the opportunities to come to them. At least that's kind of what I'm hearing from you.
That's part of it. And we're still running a business every day, right? And so it's back to that dual transformation. One of the things that's really interesting, I think, in our business, and it's actually fun to watch and on any given day can be very frustrating, is we are living many of the things that we just talked about with all of our clients and about other organizations, right? When our vice chair of consulting talks about our ambitions for the next 3 and 5 years, we talk about changing our overall client experience, being a more digitally enabled company, driving a better employee experience across the board, being the employer of choice, driving our ecosystem. So we are drinking our own Kool-Aid, if you will, and driving many of these changes internally across our entire organization at the same time as we're helping all of our clients do this. So it's really a fun time to be in the business.
And I think, you're dealing with even broader scale than I do, but I also think that there's a lot in the setting expectations in a way that gets people comfortable with, hey, I'm asking you to transform and we're going to do some changes. And I recognize that you've got work that has to get done to keep the ship moving forward. So, because I do think a lot of the times it's done without this recognition, very public recognition, really, that, hey, I'm asking you to double up a little bit for now. So let's figure out how to balance that, but know that I know that that's happening. And I know that sounds very basic, but oftentimes I think that expectation is the part that's missed.
All right. Now, Tamara, I couldn't agree more. We've had lots of conversations around in many of these change roles or driving the future roles, if I leave it very generic like that, are some of the most ambiguous when it comes to, well, how are we going to know if we're successful and how are we going to measure that? And what's my metric that I need to achieve to be successful this year, Herb?
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of that where there's you need to build the inherent trust in the organization that those that are doing what's right for our clients and those that are doing what's right for the organization are those that are going to be successful, right? Yeah. Without maybe some of all those other pieces.
So before we have to close out, where can people go to learn more, connect with you?
You know, ey.com is a great place to go. There's a ton of information out there. If you go to ey.com/transformative index, it'll allow you to very quickly take a bit of a survey that asks some questions and will give you a ranking of at least how you perceive your organization on the transformative index. And it'll rank you as a catalyst, a chrysalis, a caterpillar, or a butterfly. And kind of give you some ideas on some of the things we've talked about here from a next level down of thinking and some collateral that you can leverage to move forward with your organization.
We will put that link in the show notes. That is fantastic. And I would encourage all of us on Launch Street to, when we are done driving or wherever we're listening to the podcast, actually go do that, because I think that's a fantastic way to really understand where you are and what you're trying to accomplish. Before I ask you the last question, Herb, I just have to tell you, because it's been percolating in the back of my head as you're talking, you know, you had said that on our everyday innovator style that you're an instinctual imaginative. And here's the interesting part. I just have to tell you that what I have found in my work is that people who are super data driven and have that instinctual approach to how they innovate. So meaning a more circuitous way of thinking, kind of A to L to X, back over to Y. Because of that, you're able to see patterns and trends and pull those together, see those insights before the rest of us. So people who have that beautiful balance like you of data and instinctual tend to be fantastically successful, because you see the insights and the patterns in the data in a way that the rest of us don't. So I think just given what you're saying and all the stuff you've been talking about, I'm like, yeah, I can totally see how he pulls it together. It's interesting to see in action.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words, and I'll continue to try to live up to that.
So what's your final piece of advice for innovators on Launch Street?
Oh, go think big, right? Think way beyond what we normally would, and try this exercise of really, what would I like? What's it going to look like, not 2 years from now, but what's 5 years from now going to look like? What's my industry going to look like? What's my customer going to look like? What are the expectations going to be? And then look backwards and say, what could I do to get here? I just think that's an incredibly fun exercise.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really love that approach of not just now to tomorrow, but tomorrow back to now. That's a cool way to look at it. Herb, yeah, thank you.
Now next to beyond is very fun.
That's right. So Herb, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a highly insightful conversation, and I'm looking forward to see what comes next.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.